Chicago's home for sports on Instagram at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
It's week 10 of the NFL. The Bears have the bye week. If you want to talk more football, jump on in. 312-332-3776. Want to get to some Bulls stuff because, Brian, the way the Bulls started this year, people that haven't watched the Bulls in a few years decided, hey, these guys are actually fun to watch, and they've gone back to the games. They knocked off the Nets. They knocked off Doncic and the Mavs, and everything was looking good for the five-game trip, and then Vooch comes down with COVID. He's on the COVID list and can't make the trip for the five-game West Coast swing. And we saw what happens without a big guy. They didn't have a lot of rebounding to start with, but without Vooch, we saw what happens to them when they played the Warriors the other night.
Yeah, I mean, they just start paying extra close attention to Zach and DeMar, and you know, someone else has got to beat us. And by the way, you know, who saw the Golden State come back to 11-1 and looking like they should turn back the clock a few years, right?
Yeah.
But the East is more than respectable, and it, you know, the Bulls are certainly among the surprises in the East. But it's great to hear Alex Caruso talk about how everyone gets along on this team, and that's in his eyes a big part of it. I mean, obviously Lonzo Ball playing defense and shooting 40%+ from three, and you know, having a legit point guard goes a long way to helping you win games. And getting pressure off Zach LaVine by doing the roster turnover that this front office has done. But Alex Caruso said, you know, you like coming, you like being on the road, you like going to practice. There's not, he said, there's not a guy on this team you don't want to see on a day-to-day basis. And so, you know, they're just maybe young enough and having enough fun to not realize that they're not maybe as good as the record right now. But as you said, man, it's fun to watch, given what we've watched the last 5, 6, 7, 10 years.
Well, and the one play that probably everybody saw from the other day from the Mavericks game, when Caruso came, intercepted the ball behind down under the basket, was on his back, flipped it to Lonzo Ball, and Ball throws a perfect strike to LaVine streaking to the basket for a slam dunk. I mean, we haven't seen those things since the days of Derrick Rose back in the day. We haven't been that excited watching fast break basketball for a long time. And these guys get up and down the floor. Caruso's fun to watch. I have my hand up in the air. I tell people all the time, I said, if you want NBA talk, you've got Jay Hood and you've got Waddle and Sylvie, you've got Black and Abdallah. I watch the Bulls. I don't watch the rest of the NBA. But I watch the Bulls games. And when I knew Lonzo Ball was coming here, I said, oh, come on. I was wrong. That was a perfect guy to get here.
Me too. I really wondered if it was going to be worth it, and it's more than worth it. And Caruso being among the league leaders in steals.
Yep.
So now you, like you said, the ball's going the other way on the breaks, and it's just not this plotting kind of, you know, the ball getting stuck around the perimeter, and you know Zach is going to be the only one shooting at the final few seconds of the shot clock. There's actually, I mean, rhythm, fun, movement. And I know Billy Donovan said with Vucevic out, they had to have more of that. I mean, that Zach and DeMar DeRozan are probably putting a little bit more pressure on themselves that they got to be the guys. And, you know, that Billy Donovan wants to see that ball moving around to some guys that the defense is not paying much attention to.
They were actually playing well in the first half. They had a 10-point lead first quarter, late first quarter, early second quarter. And at the first half, and they did this in the first half, DeRozan shot 1-for-6 and Ball shot 1-for-8. So they weren't doing very well.
And Zach came out firing and was doing well. And then all of a sudden he hit, you know, they switched up and decided to make him the priority, and his numbers went south.
Yeah, Billy Donovan after the game talked about what the Warriors did basically to Zach LaVine.
Zach, I think, was really trying to play the right way. He was throwing it to the pocket. He kind of gave himself up for the team. But then I think it gets to a point as a player, you sit there and say, you know what, like, I got to try to make things. I got to do something. I think he could have done a little bit more. I thought he got caught on the baseline too much, playing on the baseline, which is always, I think, a very difficult spot to play from because the defense is always able to pull over. And we had, like, 3 or 4 possessions. It wasn't just Zach. There were several guys on our team that were on the baseline that led to turnovers, stepping out of bounds, throwing the ball out. Like, we got to be able to play in the middle of the floor a little bit more. And, you know, I think for Zach and DeMar, you know, certainly with Vooch being a center and not here, they're going to have to understand there's going to have to be even more sacrifice in terms of moving and cutting. and trusting the pass to moving the ball. And a lot of times it's going to end up in someone else's hands. Like, I thought Io came in, made a couple mistakes to start the game, kind of regrouped and, you know, made two big threes, you know, especially when they were boxing one. And we're going to have to trust the pass. We're going to have to trust each other in that situation. I think I mentioned before the game about, you know, we've got to try to generate good shots. And, you know, DeMar, I thought, got to his spots tonight, just didn't make shots like he normally has done from that area of the floor. Zach, I thought, was relatively hot. He started off really, really well. But if a team is going to sell out to take somebody away like that, we're going to have to be able to say, you know what, this is what it is. I'm going to have to do this.
Yeah, he brought up a great point, too, because I was critical of Zach during that game, and it was really hard to do because he was shooting the ball pretty well. He had seven turnovers, yeah. and a lot of it was maybe him trying to do too much and not getting the ball to the other guys because they were double-teaming him. And he mentioned it, and I read it in articles, too, and it's so great because when I'm a young kid playing basketball at the Cicero Stadium or at Our Lady of the Mount grade school, the other team comes in with a star player, and you play the box and one. And yep. So it's great listening to an NBA coach talking about the defense that they were playing a box and one, and they making sure that they always have Zach doubled. And he was. And I know he was trying to do a lot on his own. That's one of the reasons for the turnovers. Hopefully, when they play tonight, they get the Clippers tonight and the Lakers tomorrow, so they don't have to go very far. They're in the same building the next two nights.
Yeah, they practice at USC, which is about a mile and a half, 2 miles from the Staples Center. And isn't it refreshing to hear Billy Donovan?
It's great.
I mean,
it really is.
And not only to hear a guy who knows basketball, but just you have confidence in that guy, right? And if you're a player, why wouldn't you? He's won everywhere he's gone. But, you know, the people, the Jim Boylans and Vinny Del Negros and two Jim Boylans, you know, he went back to the well on Jim Boylan. Just to hear that instead of the guy who's going to call a timeout with, you know, 24 seconds left in the game just to really tick off the veterans. I mean, it is so great to hear that guy. And last year he was talking about a team had to figure out how they want, you know, they keep talking about wanting to win, but they have to figure out how to win and what it takes. Well, now you brought in some winners, right? And it's changed the entire face of this team and the approach and the whole product. I mean, it's now you look forward to the next Bulls game instead of saying, oh, I got to watch this because it's my job. I mean, it's fun. And if they're enjoying it, that's even, you know, more of a benefit, a plus for a team. Winning covers up a lot of things, but I mean, the fact that they seemingly are a close group and a likable group, that makes winning even more fun for fans, right?
Yeah, there's no doubt. Your thoughts on the Bulls as they play game two of their West Coast trip? Used to be the circus trip back in the day as the circus would come to the old stadium and then to the United Center, and now it's just the West Coast trip. They've got the Clippers tonight, the Lakers on Monday, then Wednesday, Portland, and is it Friday or Saturday, they play against Denver. So they're going to be without Vooch the whole time, and you got Tony Bradley starting in the middle, and that makes it difficult. He's a young guy. He's still kind of, you know, he's not great at that position. He looks pretty awkward when he gets the ball, even at times, and it's difficult because you need him to get the ball and you need your guards to rebound because they got beat on the rebounding the other day by Golden State 47-38. And then it doesn't matter how much you cover Steph Curry. He's going to hit the shots.
He can just step back another 3 feet.
Unbelievable. I'm watching the game and I posted, you know, how good Steph Curry was. And some guy said, is this the first time you've seen him? And I said, no, but I mean, it actually was going through my head. And Tyler, I want to get your response. It was actually going through my head when I was watching him. Is he as good as Michael Jordan was? Because when he's playing the game, I know. I'm not saying he's better than Michael Jordan. But when Jordan
was different players, right?
I know. They're completely different players. And, you know, shorter and everything else like that. But when he's on the floor.
Well, it's the takeover factor, right? Just the way that he can single-handedly
make it look easy while he's doing it, too.
Right, exactly. It's that. Now, Jordan was a much better defender than Steph is right now. And that's obviously one of the big differences. But I mean, Steph's going to probably go down as one of the 10 greatest players of all time.
And shooters.
Well, he is the best shooter of all time. And the way that he has revolutionized the way that people play basketball, and the next generation is going to look like a lot of Steph's because of what he did. When you look
Hey, how's that Bahamian Steph Curry? How's he doing?
He's got some work to do. Okay. He's not quite there. He's more of a J.J. Redick type.
Wow. But there's a gap.
Yeah.
Hey, J.J.'s banked a lot of money in a long career. So.
He did, yeah.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. And now he's going back to ESPN. By the way, did you guys see someone ask Jay Billis, now that J.J. Redick is at ESPN, somebody asked Jay Billis, for Coach K's final season, would you be interested in doing, like, you know how the college football playoff has the mega cast?
Yeah.
Would you be interested in doing a Duke cast where it's you, Jay Williams, and J.J. Redick? And I nearly projectile vomited everywhere.
Okay. As a Syracuse guy, of course you would.
Could you get Wojo? You know, he's got time on his hands. After flaming out at Marquette, help.
Yeah, well, you know, you were waiting for that, right?
It was a little past due, but Shaka's going in the right direction. Sure is.
College basketball is such a weird sport early because you get either complete mismatches.
Some of these, you're like, is that a school or is that a club team? I mean, it's like the first 2 weeks, you beg for Michigan, Texas or whatever, Michigan State, Texas or whatever, and then you get 90% of the hyphen schools and directional schools, right?
Yeah, and you get all that. And I know Tyler's a huge college basketball guy. And Tyler, you'll have great games, and like Tuesday's games. They always have those great games on that first Tuesday.
Right, the Champions Classic. Yeah.
Right, and they had that. And then you saw on Friday night, it was UCLA-Villanova. Which they made us wait for forever.
Right, exactly. I mean, if you're a Villanova fan out on the East Coast, that game didn't start till 11:30.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was crazy. I'm watching
that's
it, and
late
I said,
for the
okay.
West Coast. That's an 8:30 local.
You know, a lot of people still working at home, so they can.
I guess.
They don't have to be the office.
They don't have to go anywhere.
Right.
But, yeah, the college basketball is such a strange – and then once it gets into it, I mean, it's fun. But some of the mismatches and all the other games that you see early in the season are difficult. 312-332-3776. The Bulls play tonight. The Bulls play tomorrow night. Are you looking more forward to what the NFL is doing the next 2 days and the full slate of NFL games today and the Monday night game tomorrow? Or – the Bulls the next two nights. They're at the Clippers. They're at the Lakers. And see how they do it if they change things up with Vooch out now that they've had one game under their belt without him. 312-332-3776. We're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about Scottie Pippen and just wonder why. What are you doing? We'll talk a little bit about that. We'll hear some sound from him, which you'll just shake your head about. 312-332-3776 on ESPN 1000.
ESPN 1000,
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
I got to tell you, Brian, in that commercial break, we heard Brent Musburger talking about Circa Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have Sirius Satellite, and you have the NFL, he calls the Raiders games.
He sure does.
He's 82 years old.
Sounds great.
Oh, my God. He sounds good as ever.
I heard it last week. It was 2 weeks I was in the car. I was on the NFL Red Zone Series, whatever. And they kept going to the Raiders call, you know, team. And he just sounds like it's 40 years ago.
Yeah, it's amazing. He sounds as good as ever. And obviously it's radio. We can't tell if he's missing a guy here or missing a play here, but he sounds tremendous.
Absolutely. Pro's pro.
82 years old and just an unbelievable guy. He's not, his history is so ridiculous. And because he's not in the national spotlight anymore, you don't think about him as, you know, one of the greats and all that stuff. Plus, you didn't think it was a great play-by-play guy because he was more of a studio guy all the time. When we saw him, the CB, you know, the NFL Today and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But he
pioneered that.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. Doing a great job.
Now you need 10 guys and for each three or half feet.
Easily.
I mean, you got to be out there on your little half field and confetti and cannons and stupid graphics and cartoon.
I know.
I mean, I can't stomach any of it.
No, I have a hard time. I used to do pregame shows on radio, and people say, well, do you watch the pregame show on TV? I said, no, I never. I don't like watching TV.
You don't need 10 different guys sitting around, you know.
Usually by 2 hours before the game, you know, unless there's breaking news, I know everything that's going on. Oh, by the way, there is semi-breaking news. Carson Wentz, his wife is expecting, I guess, any day now, and they said even if she goes into labor, he's still going to play. And he's still going to play next week, if even if she goes into labor. I don't know what number child this is. I wouldn't think it's one.
I got news for Dustin Rhodes is applauding this right now.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
He never understood guys missing games for
yeah, I know.
Feet at the hospital.
Yeah. So he's going to play. And, hey, there may be many Colts fans that say, please don't, after what he's done the last couple of weeks. We were talking Bulls. Let's go to Westchester and Brandon. You're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Brandon.
What's up, guys? Hey, just let me say this, guys. This is the one game, that Golden State game on this road trip, where Bradley shouldn't even play. He should have just go small on Golden State. There is no shot blocker. When you look at it, he keeps sending him up for a pick that Zach and DeRozan don't need, and they're not even respecting him because they know he's not going to pull up and take the 3-point shot. You looked at Draymond Green; he kept guarding both of those guys, and they were doubling because they knew Bradley wasn't going to even take the shot. Then Billy Donovan starts him in the third quarter and takes him out real, real quick once he saw it again, and you don't see Bradley anymore. Just like tonight. Let AD get 50, go small, don't even start Bradley in this game, because for the simple fact, you need, at least Vucevic, they respect that he's going to take the three. So they at least go back out there and go get him. And this is one thing we really, really miss, Kobe White. Somebody's going to get some minutes took because we need a guy that not only could hit the three, but Kobe White could get his own shot. That's what we was missing in the Golden State game. They was leaving those other guys wide open at the three because they know they couldn't hit it and they wouldn't take it. And you got to look at Donovan. He's not making certain adjustments, guys. And like I said, Kobe White is going to make a huge difference when he's come back. We just got to find – Donovan got to find him the minutes. Somebody minutes are going to be cut. And Donovan needs to fire the guy. The key is he gets his own shot. He doesn't need their help. And that was one more thing that I forgot, guys, but take it away.
That's okay, Brandon. We appreciate it.
That's a lot there.
Yeah, you know, it is. And he's right about Kobe White. I mean, they've been talking about him when he will come back. I think I don't know if it's going to be on this trip.
They said the window is going to open up for tomorrow against the Lakers.
Okay.
That's the first day he could probably come back.
Yeah, I think that some of his minutes, he may cut into some of Io's minutes, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, Io, the way that Billy Donovan talked about it, he's just going to stick with 10 guys, which is a lot.
Yeah.
But what has Io Dosunmu done to prove that he doesn't deserve to be out there? I mean, he's been a second-round pick to go out there and play the way that he's played offensively, defensively. It's very tough to ration out some of these minutes. And listen, Kobe's not a good defensive player. He's an offensive sort of microwave guy.
Yeah.
And you need that spark off the bench from time to time. Like, you'll find games where a guy like Kobe White's going to win you a game. But at the end of the day, this team has been so good on the defensive side of the ball that you're going to need guys like Io to go out there and keep up that defensive continuity.
Yeah, between Io and Caruso, you got guys who are just running all over the place. And I've heard numerous people say Zach has started to play some defense. So that wasn't his strong point. But, you know, when everybody else is playing some defense, you don't want to be the only guy out there not doing it. I want to play one more Billy Donovan cut because he talked about the next steps in LaVine's development.
Any great player that I've been around always tries to take matters in their own hands. And I always kind of respect that. And I think Zach was trying to win. You know, I really don't fault him in any way because he was really making the right play. But the right play was not leading to points. And it was like, okay, I got to try to do something. And, you know, and with his greatness, I mean, he even made some tough shots late when the game was kind of, you know, away from us. We weren't going to probably be able to get back in. He made some shots, but he can't do that for 36 minutes a night and expect us to win. Like, I think he's trying to do that for early portion of his career. It's just not going to work. And listen, we all got to work together a little bit better. And, you know, they made a very, very conscientious effort to double team him all over the place. They made a conscientious effort to really go after DeMar, and they really made a conscientious effort to say, okay, you know what? These two guys are not beating us. You guys are going to have to beat us somewhere else.
And they did just by throwing threes up all night long. I mean, well, and the Warriors did, but the Bulls tried. And, Billy Donovan's very interesting there. He's right. I was wrong the other day because, like I said, I criticized Zach, but he was trying to do too much. It's probably one of the reasons for his 7 turnovers because he was hot early and then he was hot late when I was wondering.
Come out 4 or 6 or whatever, 10 points in the first quarter.
Yeah. He was off to a real nice start.
Apart.
Yeah. But without Vooch, without him in the middle, it makes it really difficult on how that's going to play out.
But the good news is when Vooch is in there, you're seeing what they hoped to have seen last year.
Right.
You know, when they made that trade, the idea was to get Zach help but also be a playoff team. It obviously didn't happen. But to see this come together as quickly as it seemingly has this year so far, it's, you know, these other problems are fixable, right? I mean, it's still a long season. So I have full faith that Billy Donovan and that coaching staff will figure it out. I mean, it's great to see a guy like White, who we're talking about, where, you know, where's the minutes and roles when he comes back, when they shoehorned him as a point guard, and then that just completely screwed the kid up, right?
Yeah.
It's all, you know, the kid could score, and now he's trying to run an offense. And it was a disaster for him and for the team for the most part.
Yeah, a tremendous scorer. And so, I mean, was he like the leading scorer in North Carolina high school?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, yeah, we saw that too. And as Tyler, you knew, there was a guy that used to play for Detroit that was named the Microwave, right? Did you know that?
Let me guess, Joe Dumars?
No.
No, Vinny?
Vinny Johnson.
Yeah.
He was called. He'd heat it up. He was like the first guy I think ever.
I think microwaves were new back then.
I was going to say, because he couldn't. You know, they weren't naming Bob Cousy the microwave for a lot of reasons. But there was no idea about a microwave back then. Yeah.
White's now an air fryer.
Yes. Yeah. Probably. He's the ninja foodie or something like that. You got to call him
the
that.
Ninja foodie. So, he'll cook you roasted about 5 minutes.
He'll cook you roasted, and you also it'll brown it a little bit too. Because I've got one at home. It crisps. It does all that stuff.
Is it?
At least that's what it says. I have not tried it. I've had it for like 2 years. It's still sitting there. I got to try one of these
days. Like today with the, you know, when you really don't want to go out and grill. And last night I'm out there doing steaks and the Canadian Clipper, whoever the hell was coming through, and it dropped about 20 degrees. Not that it started off all that warm.
No.
I mean, you put a roasted, chicken in that air fryer thing. And it's, I can't do as good a job on the grill as that thing crisps and browns it. I'm telling you.
I know. It's just intimidating. The one I have is about, it's bigger than a basketball. It looks the size of a beach ball.
And it's about 50 pounds, too.
Oh, yeah. And when you lift the lid, you can't have it underneath any of the cabinets, because when you lift the lid, it's about 2.5 feet high. Well, I'm intimidated by it.
Well, the lid's also, mine is a pressure cooker.
Yeah, mine, so too. About, yep.
Yeah. And so, if you take the lid off, which you can, that's about 15 pounds.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, it's for Christmas, it's well worth the investment. Don't be intimidated by it. Start just with simple stuff, and you're going to have a nice winter meal. So, I mean, I'm telling you.
That's what I have to do. I'll start with, like, chicken nuggets or something like that.
I mean, they give you the book. It couldn't be easier. It was like, one pound chicken nuggets, here's the time, and here's the temperature, and, set it, and you're done.
I heard you could do really good wings.
Terrific wings. Tremendous wings and all that stuff. Oh. So I'll have to try it.
Use fresh wings, though. Don't be going and get the frozen wings. Go
fresh
go
wings, the, huh? Yeah. Go to the butcher.
Yeah,
get the fresh
they've
wings.
Already, buffalo or BBQ, whatever they've seasoned them.
Oh, since they've already done it, so you don't have to season it either.
Yeah. You're making the Bitcoin; you can afford.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
everything's cost. I mean, you go to the grocery store now and see that ground beef went up about threefold in the last year, right?
I know. Well, and then I'm a big chili.
Well,
you
eat out all the time.
I do, but I'm a big chili guy too. I make chili. I probably make chili 4 or 5 times a year, and I still have a little bit left from like a week ago when I made it. And it's great. And for me, make a big pot of chili, it's like 4 meals, however many I decide to eat. Sometimes it's just 2 days because I get really hungry, and then I don't leave the house for a while.
Thank God if you had all that chili. No one wants you to leave the house for a while.
No.
You probably can't leave the house for a while.
You're right. You probably can't. We come back. I know I've been teasing Scottie Pippen like he's been.
Is he still unhappy?
Yeah, he is. Ever since earlier in the week, he's been unhappy. When he met, he was on. We've got a soundbite here with him on Kelly and Ryan. On ABC, we've got a soundbite.
Are you allowed to be unhappy on that show?
I don't know.
It's saccharine. I mean, it's like.
Well, I guess you're allowed to be tall because they're about 5'3", each of them. And they both could use a sandwich. But Scotty was out with them. And then there's a chunk with him from with Michael Strahan. But Stephen A. Smith, who I work for ESPN, I don't watch First Take. But he had a very interesting thing as Kendrick Perkins was talking and standing up for Scotty. Stephen A. had a really good spin on the whole thing. So we'll hear from some of that stuff. We'll talk to you 312-332-3776. Hanley and Huebner at ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Facebook at ESPN Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Okay, if you're a Bulls fan, especially from the good old days with Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, can't forget Stacey King, Bill Wennington, Will Perdue, all those guys, you know, and then Harp, Rodman, all that stuff. We saw a lot of it with The Last Dance last year while we were watching and sitting at home during COVID. And Scottie Pippen was none too happy about it because he did some stupid things in his career. Let's be honest. And the whole thing with Tony Kukoc still. Back in the day, Brian, I was such a big Tony Kukoc fan, I would have arguments with a guy I used to work with at the other station. Me and Tommy Williams would go at it on a nightly basis because he was pro Scottie Pippen, I was pro Tony Kukoc. And we'd go back and forth all, you know. And
yeah, and Scottie always held it against Tony because he knew how much Tony was getting paid because Jerry Krause, you know, went across the pond to get him. And
right.
It was like, hey, where's mine?
Yeah.
The player just, you know, took what he could get, but he took it out on the player, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And to the point where they nicknamed him Pepe Le Pew.
Yes.
You know, because like a lot of Europeans, he, you know, a daily shower wasn't necessarily on his schedule after a game. So,
right.
So, I mean, yeah. They, unlike this Bulls team, they weren't apparently all together and happy to see each other each day.
No, apparently. And you knew that going in, when Kukoc first came here, both Michael and Scotty basically froze him out.
Correct.
They didn't, because Krause brought him in, they didn't give him the opportunities, and they finally did, and they realized, hey, this guy's pretty good. And he just went into the Basketball Hall of Fame, which was nice to see.
Until he showed up for that.
Yeah, still lives in the area, plays golf all the time, so it was nice to see. But this week, Scotty's got a book coming out, and he's made the rounds. He was also on Sirius XM NBA Radio with Frank Isola, who usually will get into, you know, in-depth things about with people. But I was listening to Crosstalk Unhinged, and Yurko was just saying when he listened to this, he was just wondering when the baby oil was going to come out because it was like he needed to give him a massage or something because he said Frank was really easy on Scottie Pippen.
Not Frank's style.
No,
I covered the Bulls back in the day when he was covering the Knicks. And
yeah.
We had a few post-game pops and great guy. And
yeah,
and
oh, he's a great guy.
Tough guy, yeah.
Yeah, but he had Scotty sitting there next to him, and they were talking about the bad back that Scotty had that prevented him from playing a Game 7 against the flu game or whatever game it was that Michael Jordan had. This is just a chunk of that.
I wouldn't have played in a Game 7. I just wasn't able to go. I mean, I knew on Saturday that – you know, I probably had one game left in me. And the start of that game, I got a dunk early in the game and got banged a little bit by Malone. And that really put me back on my heels throughout that whole game where I was running back in the locker room, cortisone, whatever kind of medication I could get in me, heat pack, whatever, to try to carry on. But I definitely was not able to play a Game 7.
And you know the way it works with us in the media. When Michael Jordan would get sick in a playoff game, we make it seem like he came from his hospital bed with IV stuck in his arm.
And it's he's in able the book.
And he has these great accomplishments. But for you, that is pretty remarkable what you did. Again, I'm not saying you're doing it for people to give you credit, but do you feel that not enough was made of that moment? Because there you were playing hurt in a deciding game against a great Utah Jazz team.
Here's my breakdown on that. I'm going to ask you this.
All right.
Is it easier to play with a herniated disc or to play with the flu?
They always say the worst injury to have is a bad back. So,
well, I don't see many bad back games, but I do see flu games. Flu. Come on.
So that was Scotty. And on the Crosstalk Unhinged, you got to listen to it because both – Yurko and Waddle are guys that play, athletes that played sports at a high level in the National Football League. And when Scotty says cortisone, you don't get a cortisone shot in play. Because when you get a cortisone shot, it's like, okay, here's your cortisone shot. Sit down. You're not playing after a cortisone shot. So, you know, Yurko, who is the resident medical expert here at the station, was calling NCSA saying, I don't know what Scotty's talking about. And I think Scotty made up the cortisone. He just couldn't think of another, you know, painkiller that was shot into him at that time.
Wasn't, you know, like an epidural or anything, right?
Yeah, I don't know. But, you know, and I don't listen to First Take. But I listened to a cut when Kendrick Perkins was going back and forth. Kendrick was standing behind Scotty. And Stephen A. Smith had a great response to Scotty comparing the bad back game with the flu game. Give it a listen.
He brings up the flu game compared to, now that's Scottie Pippen right there, hugging Michael Jordan, recognizing how sick Michael Jordan was and how depleted he was. That game that Michael Jordan had the flu, why was it such a miraculous game in people's eyes? Because the brother dropped 38 and closed the deal. Whether it was food poisoning from a pizza, flu, or whatever you want to call it, he dropped 38. The bad back game that Scottie Pippen had a year later, we appreciate his efforts. No doubt valiant. Far different than the flu. We get all of that. But he shot 4 of 7 from the field. He scored 8 points. Michael Jordan dropped 45 that game and carried them to a championship because Scottie Pippen could only play 25 minutes barely because his back was killing him that much. Very valiant, courageous effort on his part. Worthy of appreciation. But the brother ain't box office. That would be Michael Jordan. Why was The Last Dance what it was? Because that's box office. Why are we still talking about it? Why is it widely considered? Maybe the greatest thing ESPN has done on a documentary level outside of, OJ. Okay, this is the bottom line. It's about what resonates.
So that was Stephen A., and I love this comparison, him talking, yeah, what Scotty did was great. He went 4 of 7 and scored 8 points or whatever like that. He goes, Michael put up 45 in that game.
Yeah.
So
I haven't read the book yet, but the criticism is, or people are pointing out, that he's so fixated on Michael Jordan throughout the book that if you didn't, certainly Jordan was going to be part of the story, right?
Unguarded. Sure.
But if he didn't make it mostly or a lot about Michael Jordan, it's not going to sell books. So we're still talking about box office, right?
Yeah, exactly. What sells? If Scotty was going to do a whole book and not bring up Michael Jordan in the book, it's like, okay, well, that's fine. I'm not sure how many, you know, Randy Merkin's book would sell more than that. I agree. You probably should.
I can't wait to read it. I'm sure there's some good stories. We all have been on the other side of the glass when things were going on.
Yeah, yeah. There's no doubt
behind the glass. But the other thing about Scottie Pippen and all the different things in his life. I mean, I remember just like Jerry Krause got Tony Kukoc and was going to make sure the whole world knew that he found him when he first drafted Scottie Pippen. Right.
Yeah.
Krauss made it. He was a sleuth. No one else knew about it. But if you talk to Marty Blake at the time, who was the head of NBA scouting,
right?
I talked to Marty Blake about it back in the day. He claimed he not only knew about Scottie Pippen, he wrote up a whole report on him and sent that to every team in the league because that's what the head of the NBA scouting combine did,
right?
And so that Jerry Krauss wasn't the only guy who knew about Scottie Pippen. He was just the first able to decide to take him or whatever. But so you get credit for that. But, Scotty has always been a lightning rod for criticism, critique. I mean, and he's kind of his own worst enemy because he, to this day, instead of celebrating all his accomplishments, the Basketball Hall of Fame twice as a team member and an individual, Olympic gold twice, everything, all the championships. And he still wants to, he's embracing being in the shadow of Michael Jordan. I mean, he's still living in it. He can't break free from it.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with it. I mean, all he's going to do is hurt his the way people see him.
Legacy, yeah.
Yeah, all he's going to do. Here's what they asked him about his legacy. Listen to this. This is sad.
How do you want to be remembered?
As the greatest of all time. That's a great answer.
now he's kidding there, but you wonder how much of that is kidding.
Yeah, I didn't really notice how much. I think he that answer was at the ready.
Yeah.
And you know, you should think highly of yourself, especially sure. with everything on his resume.
Sure. But, yeah, there's no doubt.
No, you were really, really good, and they won all those championships without all your contributions.
Right.
And no one can demean that.
Yeah.
But you're not the greatest of all time.
There's another good cut here, but I want to go to Elmhurst and Kevin first. Kevin, what's going on?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Good afternoon, I guess.
Morning.
Love your show.
Thanks.
Yeah, you know, I think the other thing, you guys are hitting great points on the Scotty MJ thing. And I think the other thing, I know it was covered in the doc, but he wrote a book, and no one is talking to him about his sort of amazing personal story, yeah. how loyal he was to his parents and his father and his yeah. family. I mean, you know, there's this great guy behind there that now all he wants to talk about is the petty stuff. It's really disappointing.
Yeah, they had there was like 11 kids in his family.
Yeah, yeah, and his dad had a stroke at an early age, and that's why he took that bad contract. I mean, I know people kind of know about it, but no one's talking about it now, and no one nationally is asking about it. It's sad.
Yeah. No, it really is, Kevin. It's a really good point. He should go to the other points about, you know, instead of trying to, you know, this pettiness with Michael Jordan, the whole thing's crazy. One other cut, and this is when he was on with the short people, Kelly and Brian. I mean, I watched the show. My girlfriend has this show on a lot when I'm over there, so I watch it. And I remember seeing Kelly Ripa when she was on. I used to watch soap operas with my wife all the time.
Uh-huh.
And she was on a soap opera. The very first time she was on a soap opera, she wore a T-shirt that was her own T-shirt, and they were on the set. They didn't realize till after the show aired that it was two stick people having sex.
Oh boy.
On her T-shirt. And that was the very first time she was on TV. She was like a 16-year-old or 17-year-old. I can't remember. It was All My Children in General Hospital. One of those two. But anyway, Kelly Ripa and Ryan Seacrest, and they had Pippen on and talked about Michael Jordan, how MJ texted him about the documentary. Give it a listen.
Michael sends you a text, and in it, what does he say, and how long did you wait to reply?
I didn't wait no time. I mean, I replied. I just pretty much said, I'll hit you up later. He just sent a text, basically said he heard that I was a little angry at him, mad at him.
And what did you speak?
Yeah, we did
tell us
speak.
About that conversation.
I mean, I basically said yes. I felt like that there were things in the documentary that you were never a part of that 94 team, that you shouldn't have put that in the documentary. And I felt like that you should have gave the team a little bit more credit instead of just yourself.
What was his response to that?
His response was, I would be a little angry too.
Oh.
Did he apologize?
I don't know if it was considered an apology. No.
So, you know, hopefully, like our caller mentioned, hopefully people that are interested in the book will read it to find out some of the other backstory about Scotty and the things sure. that you may know a little bit about, as opposed to some of this pettiness. Now, the pettiness obviously is getting publicity for the book, and that's what everyone tries to do when they have a book out.
I thought it was odd that on the audio version of the book, it's Michael Jordan doing the narration.
Yeah, unguarded, as read by Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
That would be good. We come back just a little bit of baseball because we're almost out of time. We're here till 12 noon on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Before we talk a minute or two of baseball, let's go downtown and Ralph. Ralph, you're on with Hanley and Huebner. What's up?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. Listen, I watched the Channel 11 specials that I think it's the producer's name is Burns on when he does baseball.
Yep,
Ken Burns.
And they had the story on about Mickey Mantle. And Mickey Mantle was crying in the clubhouse, and Lou Scholar walks in. He says, "Hey, Mick, what are you crying about?" He says, "You know what? These people came to watch me play today, and I struck out three times. Now, I've seen Mickey Mantle play. And most people know Mickey Mantle's numbers over the years were phenomenal. And him and Willie Mays both made $100,000 a year, top paid players in the 60s. Now, those guys were ball players. Not only were they ball players, but they loved the game of baseball. And they weren't always crying about something. You know, these guys today, they cry about everything and they get paid millions of dollars. I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks, Ralph. Appreciate it. You know, Brian, Tom Waddle said it years ago. He said social media is going to be the downfall of this country. I don't know if he said the, he may have said like all of existence, and he's right. It's terrible. And nowadays, you know, a tweet here, a text here, an Instagram here, get people in trouble, get people upset. The petty jealousness, it's crazy. I'm on Twitter because I work here. Otherwise, I wouldn't be on that. I mean, because the people that are on it, you know, it's so much bad stuff out there.
Yeah, I mean, 10% might be positive, you know,
yeah,
something
if that.
good with your family or right. heartwarming story. Someone that got healthy and, you know, thought, whatever. Yeah, 90% of it's people just waiting to jump on you for whatever
I know
perceived ill. The strikeouts, you know, back in the day, I mean, there are guys who care now as much as they did. Maybe it's, you know, not as legendary as Mickey Mantle crying because he struck out three times. But speaking of striking out, Javier Baez, MLB.com did a list of the shortstop free agent class, right?
Yeah.
And we all, Cub fans, we all love Javi Baez, but there has been a decline, both offensively. It's, you know, you can see that he had a great final month of the season, but overall the season not so good. But even the defense has been on the decline, and you know, he wows you with all those plays over the years and helps the Cubs win a championship and all that. But the outs above replacement in 2019, he was plus 32. In 2020, the COVID shortened season, and he was struggling mightily offensively. Plus 9, and then this past season, plus 3, and he still was struggling offensively until he got hot at the end.
Yep.
And he's early 30s now. So the point is that the top five of that list of 12 shortstops, he's firmly fifth, and it's like Corey Seager and Correa, like they're the top two, and then there's a huge gap till you get down to guys like Baez, and it'll be interesting. I still don't know officially what Jed offered him, Theo and Jed back in the day.
Right.
And, you know, it seemed like they were close to signing a contract before last season. Then it didn't get signed. But Jed said this year he sleeps well at night knowing what he offered Rizzo, Bryant, and Baez.
Yeah.
And I think Chris Bryant's probably going to get paid in San Francisco because they have a ton of flexibility. They have $48 million, which is basically what the Cubs have committed moving forward, right? So I think Chris Bryant will be fine, and both New York teams would probably be interested in him. But if the Mets aren't interested in meeting whatever Javi's asking price is, he might be. I've been saying he's going to, I think there's going to be a rude awakening for Javi when he sees what the marketplace really looks for at when they look at his game in totality right now these days.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I have heard that. This may or may not surprise you. I know it's been in print this week that their people have already talked to his agent. But I've heard that there's a good, strong possibility that Carlos Correa signs with the Detroit Tigers because A.J. Hinch is there.
Their young class is ready to break out, right?
They got nice pitching.
They played plus 500 baseball for the final three quarters of the season, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And they feel like they're on the cusp of this whole group kind of blossoming. And if you go out and get that guy, now you can start really thinking about the postseason. Did you see this in the Tribune?
We got 40 seconds.
Okay. We know the Cubs need pitching.
Yeah.
Cubs' fewest fastballs, 95 miles an hour or more in Major League Baseball, 185 last season, 0.8%. The Brewers had 3,031.
Jeez. I mean, Wade Miley will help.
Yeah, and five of the top six teams with big arms who, you know, clock in at 95 to 100 made the postseason. You got some work to do.
Yeah, they do. They picked up Wade Miley. Not a bad move, I don't think.
No, it's fine.
Yeah, that's nice.
That's a start.
Thanks to Tyler Rocky for all of his help. Thanks to you for listening. We've got some football. We've got the Browns at Patriots right here coming up next. Thanks, Brian. Talk to you next week.
All right, Fred.
On ESPN 1000.